Verse 6 first. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, that is, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege of coming together this evening. Thank You that You have spared us, kept us safe, and brought us here. Ask You, Lord, to bless us with Your presence. Guide us in our speaking. May we all be strengthened and encouraged. And may those who are unsaved come to a realization of their place and come to You in faith. Bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've studied Abel and Enoch, Noah, and Abraham and Sarah. And last time we talked about the test that God gave to Abraham when he offered up Isaac. Tonight we're talking about Isaac, the son of Abraham's old age, the man through whom God will bless all of the people on the earth. Each and every one of these people that we've studied are the Lord's elect. Their names written in the book of life. And one day you and I are going to see each and every one of these heroes of faith that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. Our text in verse 20 says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The scriptural record of Isaac's life is very, very abbreviated. Twelve chapters are devoted to the biography of Abraham, and about that many to Jacob and Joseph. But aside from a couple of brief mentionings, there's only two chapters devoted to Isaac's life. But it's not that we can't know anything about Isaac. We know he was a man of faith. We know he was a godly man. We know he had two sons. But there's far more that we know about this man that I'd like to bring before you tonight. I want to talk about Isaac for just a minute, and then we'll come back to this verse and talk about what he did with Jacob and Esau. First of all, Isaac's mama was Sarah, died and was buried in the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham had bought for a burying place. Right on the heels of that death of his mother, I believe the scripture would suggest that this boy who was then 40 years of age kind of just a kid in those days, was pretty sorrowful over his mother's death. And we remember that Abraham, Isaac's father, sent his servant back to the land of Mesopotamia, to the house of Nahor, Sarah's brother, to get a bride for Isaac. You remember that the servant went and the Lord blessed his efforts. He prayed and said, "Lord, guide me here." And you know, remember the story, that Rebekah was more than anxious to come back and marry this man on whom she's never laid eyes. And I love this section of scripture. When Abraham's servants brought Rebekah back from the house of Laban, we read this of Isaac. I want you to turn and read this with me. Genesis 24, verse 62 through 67. Genesis 24, verse 62 through 67. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. There's a secular song that came to my mind as I read that. The camels are coming, hurrah, hurrah. And I kind of feel like that's what Isaac was thinking. The Bible says, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. He needed a wife. And the Lord provided him a suitable wife. And he loved her very much. Second thing I want you to remember, I won't read all these scriptures, but I want to point this out to you. Abraham had received a covenant of the Lord that him and his seed would inherit the land upon which he dwelt forever. And in Genesis 26, verses 1 through 5, God confirmed that covenant to Isaac as well. In the next few verses of that same chapter, it kind of makes me wonder if some of the failings of men are genetic. Because Isaac did the very same thing about Rebekah that Abraham had done twice with Sarah. He said, "She's my sister." And he almost got in big trouble over that. So we find out that he was a sinner. The third thing was that in the same chapter, as it continues on, that Isaac sowed and reaped a hundredfold. He was a successful farmer. He knew what to do about tilling the land. And one of the most prominent things about Isaac was that he was a well digger. In Genesis 26, verses 17 through 25, I'll just make a survey of this for you. He unstopped all the wells that Abraham had dug, where the Philistines had filled them in, and he called them by the names that Abraham had named them. Then he dug a well, and he called it Essek in verse 20. And he dug a well, and he called it Sitna. And he dug another well and called it Rehoboth. And he dug a well, probably the best known to us, called Shibna, because the name of the city is Beersheba. We find that in verse 33 of chapter 26. This guy was busy digging wells. He knew how to do it. But there was a great need for water in that part of the country, because water is such a necessity. The next thing I want to notice about Isaac was that he loved savory meat. He loved spicy meat. It's not said that Isaac loved Esau. Esau was a profane man, but Isaac did love the venison that Esau prepared when he went hunting. He had told him in the 27th chapter of Genesis, verses 3 and 4, he said, "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." The other thing I want to notice about Isaac, you remember that the Lord came to Rebekah, who was with child, and told her that there are two manner of people in your womb, and the younger, the elder should serve the younger. But there's no record in the scripture that Rebekah told Isaac about that. I don't know whether she did or not. The record's not there, so I just assume that she didn't. I want you to read this with me, please, in Genesis 25, verse 20 through 24. Genesis 25, verse 20 through 24. "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her." I want you to notice that phrase. The children struggled together within her. The Bible knows nothing of the word pregnant. It speaks of women being with child. But in our society, we have changed this to a euphemism, so it doesn't sound so bad when you take the life of the fetus, as they call it. But here it says the children struggled together within her. "And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, children. What a blessing children are. I love kids. I can't hear what they say lots of times. But I love to hug them. I love to talk to kids. I love to sing with kids. Kids have been a big part of my life. And it really makes me happy to be around them. Little girls come over to the house sometimes and make cookies with Grandma. And I like that for two reasons. I like to see them. You're reading my mind. They sure do make good cookies, Brother Rick. And a couple of days ago, Jack and Jane came over, and Jack says to Grandma, he says, "Papa, four-wheeler, ride." And I was upstairs, and she hollered at me, and I went down, and she said, "You got to take them for a ride, Grandpa." So we got them on the four-wheeler, and away we went. We had a great ride. I'll tell you what, it earned me a hug from Jack tonight when he came in. Love kids. This verse in Hebrews is the one act in Isaac's life which the Holy Spirit chose to mention in the great faith chapter. And that takes us back to the 27th chapter of Genesis to read the account. The whole thing, as you consider it tonight, we're going to talk about this just a bit. It shows us something of God's sovereignty, how He works through our frailties and our think-sos, and through the sins of everyone concerned to do His will. As I mentioned, the history is back in Genesis 27. Now, Jacob, in his younger years, was a scoundrel. Let's just put it that way. But all in all, afterwards, he was a good man. And he was the youngest of the twins. And the Lord loved him, the Bible says, and set him before his brother Esau. Now, Esau was a wicked man. And yet, Isaac blessed both of these boys by faith. We'll talk about that. Jacob's blessing included temporal things, but it most certainly suggested spiritual things. Grace. God's love. Which would be both on Jacob and Jacob's descendants all the way to the time of the millennium. In the millennium, I want to remind you tonight that Israel, the descendants of this man, will become the head nation on earth. And the Bible says men will take hold of him that is a Jew in that day. No doubt this looks forward to the kingdom. Esau's blessings were merely temporal blessings. But Isaac pronounced these by faith, and he believed they would be bestowed upon them. Someone might ask the question, how can it be said that Isaac blessed Jacob by faith when he deceived him? There's no question that Isaac was deceived into thinking that Jacob was Esau when he blessed him. And because of that, we know that it was not in the thinking of Isaac to bless Jacob, although it was the will of God for that to take place. There are two things working there like they work in our life. We're bound to obey the Lord in His revealed will in the Scripture. But sometimes, even if we don't, and we go the wrong way, listen, for God's people, it's impossible that you'll do something that will negate the will of God overall. Because it will be done as it was in this case. Remember, after Isaac had blessed Jacob, and then Esau came in, and it was a horrible scene. Instead of bursting out with an angry curse on the head of Jacob, Isaac said, I blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. That was the language of faith that overcame Isaac's natural partiality for Esau. Even afterward, when Isaac knew the truth of the matter, that he'd been deceived and blessed Jacob, he didn't withdraw what he had said, but he rather confirmed it, as we read in Genesis 28, 1 through 4. And we're going to go back and read in 27 in just a minute. Let's read 28, 1 through 4. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Now this is after this had taken place. And charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. And take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Now, this happened after he found out that he'd been deceived. Now, I'd like for us to go back and just take a minute to read the account of Isaac's blessing on these two boys in Genesis 27, beginning in verse 26. Genesis 27, 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. Now he's talking to Jacob, who has the wool on his arms. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee." That's Abraham's blessing that God gave him, reiterated now to Jacob. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all that before thou camest, and I have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." As we've seen, Esau came in on the heels of Isaac's blessing of Jacob and cried out to his father. Read on from verse 34, chapter 27. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' And he said, 'Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing.' And he said, 'Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?' And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, 'Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do unto thee, my son?' And Esau said unto his father, 'Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, 'Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke off from thy neck.'" So Isaac did bless Esau, telling him how it would be with him in the years to come. But Esau was a profane person. It's written in the scriptures, "Jacob have I loved, said the Lord, but Esau have I hated." In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 16, the saints are encouraged, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." So you remember, Esau lived for the moment. He came in from hunting, and he was famished. He said to Jacob, "Give me some of that red pottage." And Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright." He said, "What good would it do me anyway? Give me some pottage." So he sold his birthright, and Jacob stole his blessing from him. So in this, we have seen the grievous plight of Esau. It's a difficult question here that I think I need to bring up. Did Isaac deliberately pit himself against the known counsel of God? Did he defiantly purpose to bestow upon Esau what he was assured the Lord had appointed for Jacob? Did he do that? Whatever may be spoken in way of excuse for Isaac, it's certain he failed greatly in two things. First, he had an inordinate love for what Esau could provide. And second, he had not inquired into the mind of God about what was to transpire. We don't know whether or not Rachel told him about what the Lord had said about these two boys. And we have to say we don't know. Still, we have to ask ourselves why, after pronouncing the blessing on Isaac, then being confronted with Esau, why did Isaac tremble so? You think he was afraid of Esau? I don't think so. I think he knew he had violated something that God had showed him before. Isaac's eyes were dim, and his spiritual discernment was dim. But clearly, not knowing all of the ifs and buts, we have to take what the Hebrew writer said, that it was by faith that he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He believed it would be just like he had said it was, and it would be. So I'd ask the question then, was Isaac a godly man? Yes, he was. He was one of the elect. And no doubt he'd been taught by his father. The Lord had saved him. He was one for whom Christ died. He was the son of promise. And it was through this man, Isaac, not Ishmael, that all nations of the earth should be blessed. For God said in Isaac, "Shall thy seed be called." And when all is said and done in this life, you and I, according to the Lord's promise, are going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, three of the Lord's heroes of faith. So, when I look at what this man did, and I consider my own life, I just pray that when the race is finished, it could be said that somewhere along the way, by faith, Leon did so and so. I pray it's that way for you. And I believe it is for God's elect. Later on, as we go through this study, we're going to read about men who did some despicable things, and yet they're listed in this catalog of faith. We're going to talk about Jephthah. We're going to talk about Samson. If there ever was a man that seemed to go the wrong way at times, it was Samson. But I look forward to digging this out and studying it with you. And we'll consider Jacob next time. Thank you.